Labor Day is an idea that first developed and was first proposed by leaders of a couple of labor unions. If you do any reading, you'll notice that there's controversy about which labor union leader proposed it first. But it really was initiated by a couple of major labor union leaders in 1882. So the idea has been around for a long time. Oregon, interestingly, was the first state to observe it statewide. The U.S. Congress unanimously, did you hear that? I don't think that's happened maybe since then. The U.S. Congress unanimously made it a holiday in 1894 following the Pullman strike related to railroad cars and those kinds of things. And to end the strike, the army was sent in by President Cleveland. People were killed and millions of dollars of damage, millions of dollars, multiple millions of dollars of damage in early 1890s. That was a lot of stuff was done. And so the holiday was instituted and put in place to recognize the work of laborers in this country. It now marks the traditional end of summer. I know, the calendar says it's going to be later in September, but it marks the traditional end of summer. Schools resume, all of those kinds of fun things. And oh, by the way, ladies, after tomorrow, you're not supposed to wear white shoes anymore, so they tell me. I don't know that anybody pays attention to that anymore. Somebody probably does. It is an important retail weekend, and if the outlet mall at Medford and Cabela's yesterday was any kind of a clue, there were lots of people shopping all over the place. And it's interesting, it's an important retail weekend, so all of those laborers do not get the weekend off, and they don't get any rest. They just have to keep on working. Really kind of an irony, I guess. But as we celebrate Labor Day, we think about our work. And as you think about work, and some of you are going, I'm trying not to think about my work for a day or so. Pastor, I don't have to get up tomorrow and go to work. All of those kinds of things. I want to encourage you about your work and your place in your work. And I hope it can be an encouragement and a challenge along the way as well that you are a person of significance and your work is significance. And we're going to look at a text today that celebrates four creatures that are small, but they have significance. You can have significance if you will use with wisdom what God has given you. It doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you do. You can lead, you can contribute, you can influence regardless of your position if you use what God has given you. And so I want us to consider these four creatures. We find them in the book of Proverbs this morning. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Book of Proverbs, chapter 30. This fits into this pattern that we get in near the end of Proverbs and, three things and then four and or five and six or whatever. It kind of fits into that, but he breaks the mold on how he says it in this passage of Scripture. Proverbs 30, beginning at verse 24, and today I read to you from the Message. There are four small creatures, wisest of the wise they are. Let that sink in for a minute. Wisest of the wise they are. Ants. Frail as they are, get plenty of food in for the winter. Marmots. Vulnerable as they are, manage to arrange for rock-solid homes. Locusts. Leaderless insects, yet they strip the field like an army regiment. Lizards. Easy enough to catch, but they sneak past vigilant palace guards. These guys are relatively frail compared to humans, but they still live wisely and significantly. Ants. Ants. Now, the writer of Proverbs likes ants. Some of you have just got the heebie-jeebies. You're like, ugh, I can think of a red ant bed somewhere along the way. And lovely, one of the wonderful, let me tell you something wonderful about the state of Minnesota. You cannot find a fire ant anywhere in the state of Minnesota. It's just too cold up here. And you're going, what are those? They are ants. They get all over you. And then somebody sends out a signal that it's time to bite you, and they all bite at once. And they hurt really, really bad. Anyway, so just so you'll know, be thankful we don't have those here. But the writer of Proverbs likes ants. Listen to what he says earlier in Proverbs 6. You lazy fool, look at an ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. Moms, you can read that to your children anytime you need to. Nobody has to tell it what to do. I may read it to my children again today. Anyway, all summer it stores up food. At harvest, it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off there, a day off here, a day off there. Enjoy your day off, by the way. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life, poverty, your permanent house guest. But he tells us to look at ants. Ants work hard when food is available to be prepared when food is not available. Ants prepare for the future. Ants prepare for the future. They do today what needs to be done so that when the future arrives, they're prepared, they're ready. Tanner's football coach has a saying I like. Victory loves preparation. Victory loves preparation. Living a life of significance loves preparation. Do what needs to be done now so that you are ready when opportunity strikes. So in spiritual terms, are you ready for eternity? That's the first question to ask yourself. Are you ready for eternity? When we want to think about preparation for the future, are you ready for eternity? One of these days, you're going to die or Jesus is coming. I don't know which one of those will be first. And you're going to have to be ready. Will Jesus be able to welcome you into His eternal kingdom? Or will He say to you, depart from me, I never knew you? Now, Jesus has laid out a way of preparation for us to be prepared for that, that if we would believe in our heart that Jesus is Savior and Lord and we are sinful people in need of a Savior, and that we would, if we would ask Him to forgive us of our sins, to be our Savior, to be in a relationship with Him so that He could be Lord of our life, that Jesus would be King in your life. He gets to be the boss. You're going to do what He says. If you would want to enter into a life like that, and you believe that in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, the Scripture says that everyone who does that will be saved. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about that. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the one there with God as the world was created. The one who made you, formed you in your mother's womb, knew everything about you from the very beginning of time. That one who then died on a cross for you, we celebrated that at the table this morning, died on a cross. His body beaten and battered for you, nailed to a cross for you. His blood poured out on your behalf to wash away your sins. He's the one with whom you can have a relationship. You can know Him. He desires a relationship with you. Think about that. Have you ever had people that you wanted to get to know, but they never paid you any attention? You thought, I'd like to build a relationship with them. I'd like to get to know them. They never gave you the time of day. The most important of all people to ever walk this earth, His name is Jesus. He is God's Son. He is the Savior of the world. He has time for you. And He wants a relationship with you more than you want a relationship with Him. You see, the ant, we're to look at the ant because the ant gets ready when it's time to get ready so that whenever it comes, he's prepared. One of these days, eternity is coming. Are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for your opportunity? I don't know what your opportunity is, but are you doing everything you need to do now? In terms of school, are you learning? Are you growing? You're all done with school? Are you continuing to learn? Are you being a lifelong learner? Are you developing leadership skills and learning how to lead? Even you're going, but I'm not the top dog. I'm not in first place. I'm way down the table. It doesn't matter. Lead where you can. Are you doing those things that you can need to do now so that when your opportunity comes, you're ready. Because if you wait till the opportunity comes, then you're too late. It's too late to get prepared. And I forget which famous person it is. It says a lot of people miss opportunity because it shows up in overalls and looks a whole lot like work. Are you ready for work and school? If not, you've got a little more than a day to be ready for the school year. Some of you, you're already there. You've been there for 2 or 3 days, you were hoping nobody that has to wait until Tuesday to go was making too much fun of you today, and surely nobody would do that here. Are you ready for friendship? Are you ready for a relationship with somebody new? Maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe somebody God's putting in your life because God wants you to influence them, and you're going, I don't really want to be around this person. Maybe this person's just not a very likable person. I just really don't like this person's attitude, their personality, anything like that. And you're looking around and you're realizing, well, the problem is that person needs Jesus. I had that thought hit me this morning. I've already mentioned college football started. I like college football. I wanted to be 6'4" and weigh 225 pounds when I was a kid growing up. I didn't make any of that, thankfully, the first or the latter part of that. And, because I thought it would be great to get to play college football. Valerie and I, our alma mater is Oklahoma Baptist University. Hi, JD. Back there, it's JD's as well. They played their first football game yesterday in 73 years. They decided it was time to bring football back. The Knox family, I have to tell you, we really wanted to drive to Shawnee and go to the football game, but we decided that was not very good since school starts Tuesday. So we didn't do that, but we refrained. But I kept thinking about, you've probably, even if you don't watch college football, you've probably heard about this kid by the name of Johnny Manziel. They handed him a Heisman Trophy last year, whether you think they should have or not. I'm on the not side. And he's just a spoiled brat is what he is. And this morning I was thinking about him because he had to miss half the game yesterday. And then he got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty when he got in the game. And then he was out of the game because his coach said, you're not going to act like that. The thought struck me. He probably just needs Jesus. Who are those people in your life? Are you ready to have a relationship with those people so you can help them know the Jesus with whom you have a relationship? Okay, the next one is a rock badger. Kind of adorable and cute in that little picture, isn't it? It's a rock badger. In the scripture verses I read this morning, the translation says it's a marmot. Well, that's the American version of this animal that would be similar is a marmot. Because marmots living in a lot of it in the western part of the United States, they live in the Rocky Mountains. These guys are rock badgers. You can find them in the Black Hills in the United States among as well as some other places. But this animal was native in this portion of the world where this scripture was being written. You can still find it somewhat in that part of the world and down into Africa. And they make their homes in the rocks. That's why they're called rock badgers and some other names as well. Look at this little creature. Now, this is strictly for information and a little bit of fun. But this little guy has two relatives on the planet. I want to show you what they are. Okay, this little bitty thing. They're not very big. You know what a marmot is? They're a small, furry, fuzzy little creature. Anyway, here's his first cousin. I don't know how that works, but elephants are related. And manatees. I don't know how that works. I don't get all that. I'm not enough of a scientist, or not anywhere close to being that kind of a scientist to figure all that out. I don't know how that works, and I didn't find all the information to explain that to me, but I thought that was kind of interesting. Just thought I'd give you something different. That may be the only thing you remember today. I hope not. But it inhabits rock crevices so that it can escape its predators. It's a creature that really cannot defend itself against its enemies very well, except that it makes its home in the rocks where its enemies cannot get. And it can't fight those predators off physically. He's not able to do that. And so his defense is his shelter, which provides him safety. Are any of you facing challenges? Raise your hand. You have some kind of challenge in your life? Man, some of you, I'm going to come hang out with some of you because you're not raising your hands. Surely somebody, you got something. Man, it may be this big. It may be way big. But you got some kind of challenge in your life. Well, are you using what's there? Let me challenge you to do this with your challenge. Ask God to redeem your challenges. We have to understand that God redeems everything He allows. So everything that He allows that happens to you, good or bad, indifferent, whatever it is, everything that God allows to happen to you, you know, including broken hands, things like that, God can redeem it for His good and for your good. And you may be looking at some challenges in your life and you're thinking, man, I'm just not sure what to do about this. Or, wow, God, are you sure this isn't supposed to be somebody else's? How do I deal with this? Can you ask God to redeem the challenges in your life for His good and for your good? Would you do that? Just say, God, I've got this challenge. Excuse me. I don't know how to meet it. I don't know how to live up to it. But it's a challenge in my life, and I can't get around it. I know that. So it's here. Would you redeem it for good? For you and for me? Would you redeem it for good? For you and for me? And watch to see what God does. Pay attention to what God is doing. Habakkuk talked about that last week. He prayed, then he watched to see what God would say. Allow God to redeem the challenges in your life. A rock badger has enemies, has predators. And his circumstances in life are such that he can live in a rock where they can't, and he can have protection against them. Locusts. Ugh. Locusts. And grasshoppers. You know, those kinds of things. Now here's something interesting. They can function like a mighty army even though they don't have a king or a commander. They move about in swarms. They will swarm, and part of that is because they can reproduce quickly, and as they reproduce quickly and there's more of them, they need food, and they can flat out destroy a crop. And I mean, in biblical days and even in this day and age, then you get locusts can strike fear in the heart of a farmer. Because they come into a swarm into the farmer's field, and he could have done all the work he needed to do, everything that was right and was necessary and was needed, and his crop is gone. A number of years ago, pastoring a church in kind of in a rural setting, we had a number of farmers there. One guy came along one Sunday morning, held up a piece of paper in front of me and said, "Pastor, can I put this on the bulletin board?" After I quit laughing, I said, "Yes." He's grasshoppers, 1,000 for 10 cents. You pick them. He's trying to get somebody to come take all of his grasshoppers because they were eating up his grass, and he was having to feed his cattle because the grasshoppers were eating the grass. We'll tell you later. But these locusts that would come in, But the locusts do their work together in unity, even though they don't have a king or a commander that says, "You go here and you go there," and they can do a great deal of damage. As we think about that in spiritual terms, are you fulfilling the role God has given you in your kingdom assignment? Are you doing your role? Are you doing your part? You know, God says, "Here, this is your assignment. Here, this is what I want you to do." You know, sometimes we can, if we're not careful, we start comparing ourselves to somebody else. I think, well, why am I not like that? Or why are they not like me? Why do they get to do that? Why is this happening with them, these good things, and it doesn't seem to be happening to me. But God has put you where He desires you because that's what He thinks is best, because you have a king who has your best interest at His heart. You realize that? You have a king. His name is Jesus. He has your best interest at His heart. He has a place for you, has a design for you, has a purpose for you. If you're willing to be in there and to be in that spot and fulfill the role He has given you, there is great significance in your life. And we have to understand that we should define our significance out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our world defines significance is, do people know who you are? How much popularity do you have? How much money do you have in the bank? All of those kinds of things. That's not how God defines it. That's not how God defines it. But are you doing what He has called you to do? Are you doing what He has placed you in a certain spot to do? Are you doing that the very best you can? Are you offering it to God? Are you doing it for all that you can for the Lord? Doing your work unto the Lord so that it honors God, so that it pleases God, so that it brings glory to God. Are you doing that? What is your kingdom assignment? Have you thought about it? You're not sure? You're confused about it? Maybe you need to reassess it at this point in your life. Well, a locust, no king or commander, but they all work together in unity because they know how to fulfill their role. It's a great analogy for the church. The church can do great kingdom work when we all fulfill our role. Great imagery in the body, in the New Testament of the body of Christ. And God puts us in the body as He sees the need for us and for the body. And puts us in there. Jesus Christ is the head of that body, and then He puts everybody else in there so that we can function together. And guess what? God knows when parts of the body are missing or hurting or damaged or sick, and how to bring healing and wholeness to that body so that it can function well and we can trust Him with those things. But are you fulfilling your part in the body? Lizards. Lizards. Most little boys, one of their favorite things. Our previous house where we lived, unfortunately, we still own it. We're really ready for somebody else to own it. But our previous house, we had lizards. Multiple varieties of lizards. We had little bitty geckos, and they liked to live behind the shutters on the brick wall on the front of the house. And you'd see them if the light was on at night and we came home. They'd be out on the wall scampering around. And as we walked along the sidewalk in the front of our house headed over to the driveway, there were bushes. And early on, we weren't real sure what was happening, but we would hear this commotion in the bushes. We finally just realized it was the lizards that lived there. And so there they would, and they'd scamp around, and we'd scare them, and they'd jump, and they'd move around, and they didn't bother us, and we tried not to bother them. Unless there's three girls over here laughing. Unless we found it inside the house. And then it was this. Honey! Daddy! Because all the girls were upstairs. And for some reason or another, geckos like bathrooms. Sometimes I wasn't there when they found one. I came home to the house with Cool Whip dishes upside down, empty Cool Whip dishes, upside down over the top of them. Just waiting on Dad. Finally, brother started getting big enough. Brother thought it was a hoot to take care of the geckos, so they started calling brother when he got big enough to start doing that kind of stuff. And if you'll remember the passage of Scripture, it talks about and certainly says it a little clearer in some other places how this little bitty lizard can find its ways into kings' palaces. Isn't that kind of funny? They blend in with their surroundings. They hide in small places. They can be caught in the hands of a child without fear. And then they try to get away. If you grab them by the tail, they'll leave the tail in your hand. just a wiggling and a flapping, and just enough to make little girls squeal. And yet, all the while, kings build fancy houses, and lizards can get in where subjects cannot. You may not ever even figure out how they get in the building or in your house. We never did. I never knew how those lizards would get in my house. I never figured that out. They would just be there and they would surprise you, and you would see one scurrying across the floor, and you hoped you had your glasses on so you knew what that was making movement on your floor. But lizards use the resources that they have. What about you? Are you using the gifts and resources God has given you for His kingdom work? You know, God has given you gifts and resources. It may vary. You may have multiple talents. You may have but one, but it's a gift from God to you for you to use for His kingdom. I want to encourage you to use what God has given you. Use it for His kingdom. Here's what I want you to get today. Regardless of limitations you may have, regardless of skills you may or you may not possess, regardless of whether you have prestige and power or you don't have any, regardless of whether you've got a great income and lots of education or you're lacking in all of those things, you can have significance if you will use with wisdom what God has given you. You can. At church, in your home, in your place of work, in your neighborhood, with your friends, you can have significance if you will use with wisdom what God has given you. Many of you are going to have the day off tomorrow and before you go back to work Tuesday. That's a really good thought to ponder for a while, to ruminate over, to think about, to take a little time to sit in a chair quietly somewhere and say, God, am I living the life of significance You want me to have? And let God define significance. God will show you what that means in your relationship with Him. And how do you live that out? The locusts do what they're supposed to do. Nobody tells them. Well, God will tell you, are you doing that? Are you taking what you have and using it for Him? Are you making preparation now so that you're ready when your opportunity comes? You can have significance. I just want you to know you can have it.